الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء وليس لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات الله We were talking about the practical tips and action points. 25 practical tips that Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom had mentioned for the Salikeen, for those who are treading this path. Sair wa suluk ilallah, the path of tazkiyatun nafs and taharatul qalb. And we discussed 9 of those points already. The 9th one was the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and all the ma'sumeen, especially Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Karbala and its importance. Which is equal, according to the hadith of Rasulullah, equal to 90 Hajj. And the 10th point, which we started in the last class, last lecture, but could not finish, the 10th action point which he has mentioned is Al-Muhafaza ala huquq al-ikhwan wa qada'i hawa'ijihim. That means we strive to take care of the rights of our mu'min brothers, حقوق الإخوان, and وقضاء حوائجهم. That means we work hard to fulfill the needs of our fellow mu'min brothers. This is a very important point. A very important practical and action point for everyone who is working hard for his cleanliness of the soul, because this is one of those special actions about which we find Shaykhul Muhaddithin, Shaykh Abbas Qummi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, has mentioned that actually, it's not his statement, it's the statement of Khatam al-Muhaddithin, Mirza Nuri, Rahmatullah alayh, who is the author of the famous book, Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan. It's a very famous book, and Muhaddith, Khatam al-Muhaddithin, Muhaddith Nuri, is the teacher of Shaheed Mutahari. So, Muhaddith Nuri has narrated has mentioned in his book that the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam has all this sawab that we have learned in the light of the ahadith. But, and you don't find in the sunan and fara'is, in the mustahab things and the wajib things, you don't find, you don't frequently find anything which is superior than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So, but having said that, he says that I have found in the light of the ahadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam that fulfilling the hajat, the need of one mu'min, is superior than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. This is what Khatamul Muhaddiseen Mirza Hussain An-Nuri Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned, that fulfilling the hajat and need of one fellow mu'min brother is superior and afdal than the ziyarat of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam. Certainly, there is no doubt in what Muhaddis Nuri has said, because actually, maybe one of the reasons is this, that when you fulfill the hajat of a fellow mu'min brother, in the real sense you are actually respecting the Ahlul Bayt. In the real sense you are actually respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa alayhi wa salam. Because a mu'min derives his respect and izzat because of his iman. Because of his iman in what? Iman in Allah and the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt. Because he has iman in what Allah has, about Allah and what Allah has commanded his representatives, that's the reason why a mu'min has his respect. So basically, when you are fulfilling his hajat and comforting him and taking care of the rights towards your fellow mu'min brothers, actually you are respecting Rasulullah and respecting the Ahlul Bayt, and actually in the real sense you are honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you do towards a fellow mu'min brother, this is exactly your behavior towards Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. This is exactly your behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you remember that story of Hussein ibn Yaqeen, Hussein ibn Yaqeen was, he narrates this narration from his father and grandfather that basically we were in the city of Ahwaz in Iran, and one of the mayors who was a mayor was appointed on behalf of Yahya ibn Khalid, and this mayor was a follower of Ahlul Bayt, and he sent a letter to me to pay this much tax, 1,000 dirhams of tax. Where this is a very poor mu'min, he cannot afford 1,000 dirhams of tax. So he said, well, let me go and see Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Medina and ask the Imam to basically help me in this matter. So he went all the way to Medina for the ziyarat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam from Ahwaz, and he said that I told the Imam about the whole thing, that basically I'm unable to pay this 1,000 dirhams of tax, and the ruler of the city, the mayor, has obliged me to send this much tax. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam wrote that letter, if you remember that story, where he wrote it on the piece of paper that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna lillahi tahta fi, you know, inna lillahi fi dhill arshihi dhillan la yuskinuhu fihi illa man nafasa an akhihi kurbatahu aw a'anahu bi nafsihi aw sana'a ilayhi ma'rufan wa hadha akhuka wassalam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has under his arsh, under the shadow of the arsh, Allah has a shadow where he will provide a place. He will not provide the place except for the person who basically nafasa an akhihi kurbatahu, relieves his fellow mu'min brother from a sorrow, from a pain, from a problem. أو أعانه بنفسه, or someone who helps his fellow mu'min brother with his own personally, with himself, helps with his own self, his own life, he helps his fellow mu'min brother. أو صنع إليه معروفا, or someone who performs a good deed towards his fellow mu'min brother. ولو بشق تمرة, although you may help your mu'min brother with half of one date. Half of one date is nothing. Dates were the cheapest food in Arabia in those days. Even the poorest person can afford to buy a date. That's the cheapest food of the time. Even if you cannot afford to help your mu'min brother with one date, you can always afford to give him half of the date. Isn't that right? So that's what everybody can afford. And then Imam had mentioned at the end of the letter that وَهَذَا أَخُوكَ, this guy is your brother. Wassalam. So he took this letter of Imam Salih alayhi salam and came back all the way to Ahwaz, and then he knocked the door of the mayor of the town. This guy is a Shia who sent the letter of paying the tax. So he knocked the door, the guy came and asked, who's there? And he said, well, I'm the person who is a person who is sent on by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. I am the messenger of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He said, is that right? Did Imam send you? He said, yes. When he heard that statement, he was very happy that somebody, if you are saying the truth, then basically you have saved me from the you have saved me from the hell. Because if Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has sent someone to me, basically he has another of lutf. He has another of lutf. He is providing me with some opportunity to do something. So you have basically saved me from the hell, if that's true. And he said, yes, he is the one who sent me. So he brought him inside and made him sit on his own place, and he sat in front of him. And he said, okay, how was Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when you left him? Then he was good, he was fine. He asked this question about Imam several times. Now this showed the person has a respect. We may do sins in our life. We are, God forbid, we are not masoom. We are fallible humans. We may do sins. But at least there has to be some values and some principles and some haya, some satr between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remaining. Some curtain, some hijab between us and Allah remaining in all times. So remember this hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he had said that ittaqillaha ba'dha tuqa wa in qalla. That means have the taqwa of Allah, although it may be less. وَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ سَتْرًا وَإِنْ رَقَّ, and keep between you and Allah, between you and Allah a curtain, although it may be thin. That means we should not basically violate all the laws and all the rules and all the principles, and keep some haya. And this helps. And those people who can maintain haya towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are always guided by Allah. One of those four attributes where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never leaves you alone, no matter what you have done in your life. If you have those four attributes, Allah never leaves you alone. Because these attributes are found in the beloved servants of Allah only. And Allah never leaves His beloved servants alone. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. Allah never wastes His beloved servants. Never allows His beloved servants to get wasted. And one of those four beautiful Islamic attributes is shukr and husnul khulq and and you know, haya, and you know, and sabr. If you have, and sidq, sorry, not sabr, sidq. So shukr, husnul khulq, and sidq, and haya. So haya is one of those beautiful attributes that we should try our best, even if we, God forbid, we do sins, we should try our best to keep the haya and don't let this value die away totally from our qalb. As long as we can keep that, we will still be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations, no matter what. Because the hadith of the Prophet has said that, أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَكَانَ مِنْ قَرَنِهِ إِلَىٰ قَدَمِهِ ذُنُوبًا بَدَّلَهَ اللَّهُ حَسَنَاتٍ. Four attributes, if they are found in somebody, and he may be from his head to toe drowned in sins. From his head to toe, he is full of sins, in other words. But Allah will convert those sins into good deeds if you have those four beautiful attributes. That's the Mazmoon of the Waya. So this guy had, you know, haya towards Ahlul Bayt, because you care about Ahlul Bayt. I mean, you care if the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is sending someone towards you with a letter. It means a lot. It means a lot. You should not reject it. No matter what your priorities of life may be, but you have to give importance to that. So this is the importance you are giving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he actually made him sit over his own chair, his own place, and he sat in front of him. He kissed the letter, he put it over his eyes, and he said, he read the letter of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, saying that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna lillahi fi dhilli arshihi dhillan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shadow of his arsh, has a shadow where he will not make anyone reside except the person, illa man naffasa an akhihi kurbatahu, except the person who relieves his fellow mu'min brother from his sorrow. Did you ever relieve one mu'min brother from his pain and sorrow and problem that he is facing in his life? Then you have a place under the arsh of Allah which is specified for you. And no one else had that opportunity. Or a'anahu bi nafsihi, or if somebody helps him himself with his himself, you know, giving, supporting, providing some help yourself, take it personally, and you help him with your life. Or sana'alayhi ma'rufan, or somebody who does good towards his fellow mu'min brother. And then he said, "Wahada akhuka," this guy is your brother. So the message is loud and clear. So this is your brother, and if you help that your fellow mu'min brother, then this is your place where you will reside under the arsh of Allah. "Wahada akhuka," this is your brother. Wassalam. So he read the letter, he put it over his eyes, this mayor of the city, and he said, "Okay, what's the problem that you have?" And he said, "Well, you wrote a letter, you sent a letter from your office to me, about paying 1,000 dirhams in tax, which I cannot afford. That's basically destruction of my whole life. I don't have that money." He's a very poor person. So he said, "Okay, give me the letter." He gave out the letter to this mayor. The mayor, he teared apart the letter, and then he called his people to bring all the money that he has in his house. Bring all the money. And all the money was brought. He divided the whole money. Half of the money he gave to this person, this mu'min. Half of the money he kept for himself. Then he asked for all of his servants. He divided all of his servants. Half of the servants he kept for himself. Half he gave to him. Gifted to him. Likewise, all of his dresses. He brought all his dresses, he gave half of his dresses to him, half of the dresses he kept for himself. All of the animals and cattle that he had. So So he divided, gave all half of the cattle to him, half he kept for himself. And then he said, and likewise he divided everything that he had. He said, did I please you? At the end he said, did I please you now? He said, certainly you please me. And the guy this moment left. He said to himself, well, this is such a great way he helped me that there's no way I can thank him. I cannot give no reward to this person now. But the only way I can reward him is that I now go to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once again in Medina and I ask the Imam to pray for him. That's the only thing I can do. So after a while the time of Hajj came, this mu'min went from Ahwaz, he went to for Hajj, and after the Hajj he went for the ziyarat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and when he had a look in the face of the Imam, he saw Imam alayhi salam was happy. He had the sign of happiness on his face. And Imam asked him that, مَا كَانَ خَبَرُكَ مَعَ الرَّجُلِ, what's the news you have with that person? And he told the whole story. And asked the Imam that, are you pleased with him? And Imam alayhi salam replied that, hey, wallahi, لَقَدْ سَرَّنِي وَلَقَدْ سَرَّ آبَائِي وَلَقَدْ سَرَّ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَلَقَدْ سَرَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ سَرَّ اللَّهَ فِي عَرْشِهِ. And I swear to God, this guy has pleased me and pleased my ancestors and pleased Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and I swear to Allah that he has pleased Rasulullah, and I swear to God that he has pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his arsh. So making one mu'min pleased from you is equal to pleasing the Ahlul Bayt and pleasing Rasulullah and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is a very easy religion, but if we are serious to take care of our responsibilities in a responsible way, we can always get a lot of sawab. I mean, this hadith, this story actually proves the fact that helping a mu'min is helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Helping a mu'min means helping Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Helping, if you reject a mu'min person and you are able to help, then you are actually rejecting the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And in the time of need, we should go to the Abwabullah. Some of the ibad, some of the servants are Abwabullah. They are bab, they are a door towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I already mentioned in the last lecture that hadith where Imam Ali alayhi salam did his wasiyyat to his son that, you know, if you have a hajat, mention it to some of your, uzkurhu li ba'dhi ikhwanika, mention it to some of your brothers. Already mentioned in hadith, you will always get one of the four things, either kifaya, either he would suffice for you, or ma'una, or he would help you, or he would, you know, oh mashwara, he would give advice to you, or da'watan mustajaba, or he can do a dua for you. And that dua is mustajab, because dua for, you know, of course, it's not in the hadith, I'm explaining the dua that a mu'min does for somebody else is mustajab by Allah. So basically there are some mu'mineen who are abwabullah. These people are called abwabullah because the faiz and mercy of Allah is being distributed through them. These people are servants of Allah. These people are special people because we have another hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he had mentioned that inna lillahi ibadan min khalqihi yafza'u al-ibadu ilayhim fi hawa'ijihim. There are some servants of Allah that some servants of God turn towards them in their hawa'ij, in their hajat. And then Imam alayhi salam said that ulaika humul aminuna yawm al-qiyamah. These people are the ones who are secure on the day of judgment. If you are a person that people come to you for their hajat,
and you help them. Why do the people come to you? Because they have expectations. Because you help them. If you stop helping, people will stop coming. Isn't that right? So if you are a person that people come to you for their hajat, then you are one of those who are secured and safe on the Day of Judgment. And also it's mentioned in the riwaya that's narrated by Ayatullah al-Uzma Ibn al-Fahd al-Hilli, one of a very great urafa of all times. He is the one who is the muallif of the famous book Uddatul Da'i. Uddatul Da'i is the masterpiece book on the subject of dua. Anything you want to learn about the concept of dua in Islam, you can pick up this single volume book and you can get the whole concept. Nothing escapes from this book about the concept of dua. So Ibn al-Fahd al-Hilli is, Ayatullah al-Uzma Hasan Zada Amuli Hafizahullah, which is one of a very great urafa today. He was mentioning in one of his statements that talking about the previous urafa, that who were the greatest of all. And among the greatest of all, he mentioned Ibn al-Fahd al-Hilli rahmatullah alayh. So he is one of the greatest of all urafa of all times. So he has narrated this narration that innal abda, Allah has said that innal abda min ibadi ya'tini bil hasana fa ubihuhu jannati. That means a servant of mine, Allah says, brings one hasana, one good deed to me, and I will give him the paradise. Ubihuhu jannati. I will make him go to the paradise, in other words. فَقَالَ دَاوُدَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. In this conversation that took place between Allah and Prophet David, Dawood عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, Prophet Dawood said to Allah, يَا رَبِّ وَمَا تِلْكَ الْحَسَنَةُ. What's that one good deed? That if a person brings that one good deed on the Day of Judgment, if a person brings that one good deed, you will send him to paradise. What is that one good deed? And Allah replied that يُدْخِلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ سُرُورًا وَلَوْ بِتَمْرَةٍ. And he makes my mu'min servant happy, although through one date. It's not a big deal, it's just a matter of importance. How much we give. What happens, unfortunately, generally speaking, in the communities, is that if there is a problem between one person and the other, we take it personally. Instead, Islam was asking us to consider a person and his respect as long as the person is good towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. He may be bad towards me, so what? I'm not the mi'yar and niqyas and mizan and criteria of haq and batil. If somebody is bad towards me, that's it. I'm not the mi'yar and criteria for the haq and batil is the walayat of Amir Mumin al-Islam. Isn't that right? The Prophet has said to Imam Ali, Anta mizanul amal. You are the mizan of all the actions. He's the scale. So the criteria for us in the light of Islam is to see what's the behavior of a person towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. If he is good towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, but he may be bad towards me, that, I should continue to basically help the fellow mu'min brothers. So Prophet Dawood alayhi salam said that haqqan, when he heard that remark from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, in other words, Allah is ready to send a person to the paradise for the sake of that one good deed. Prophet Dawood said, حَقًّا عَلَىٰ مَنْ عَرِفَكَ أَنْ لَا يَقْطَعْ رَجَاءَهُ مِنْكَ. Someone who has recognized you, it's right for him not to break away, not to cut off his hope from you. So Allah, we should always keep our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So He is even ready to send a person to paradise for the sake of one good deed.
that one good deed. Making one fellow mu'min brother happy. Actually, our scholars have mentioned that those six noor that enter into the grave of a person, I have already mentioned in one of my previous speeches, and you know, we find that the noor which is close to the feet of the dead person in the grave, that noor belongs to the muasatul ikhwan. That means the help that we provide to the fellow mu'min brothers. Any kind of help that you have provided to your fellow mu'min brothers, that will be in the form of a noor next to your feet in the grave. And that noor is going to address your salat, your prayers. The noor of salat, the noor of the prayers, which is on the right. And the noor of saum and fasting, which is on the left. And the noor of Hajj and the noor of Zakat, which are in the front and the back of the person, that noor which is at the feet is going to address these noor, these anwar, that if you guys can help the person, help him. If you find yourself helpless, come to me. I will take care of him. Helping your fellow mu'min brother is going to help you when your prayers cannot help. That's exactly what we understand in the light of this statement. When your fasting cannot help you in the grave, when your Hajj cannot help you in the grave, when your zakat and khums and fitrah and charities that you may have donated could not help you in the grave, then the help that you have provided to your fellow mu'min brothers will be ready to help you, because that's stronger in its noor. We just learned from what Khatib al-Muhaddiseen Mirza Nuri has said, that helping your one mu'min person and fulfilling his hajat has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Can you imagine anything more than that? I mean, this is enough for us to realize. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala liya'zan biharbin minni Man aza abdi al mu'min, someone who tortures my mu'min servant, he's actually, in other words, he is trying to, he's waging a war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's asking for a war, in other words, asking for a war against Allah. وَلَيَأْمَنْ مِنْ غَضَبِي مَنْ أَكْرَمَ عَبْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِ. So, and somebody who is who honors my mu'min servant is actually protected from my wrath and ghadab. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي خَلْقِي فِي الْأَرْضِ. And if on my earth, if on the earth, Allah says, among my creatures, nothing survives. بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, between the east and the west. Illa mu'minun wahid, except one mu'min person. If among my creatures on earth nothing survives between the east and the west except one mu'min person, ma'a imamin adil, alongside an adil ruler, adil imam, lastaghnaytu bi'ibadatihima an jami'i ma khalaqtu, I will become mustaghni with their ibadat from everything else that I created. Man bi niyaz misham, niyaz digar nadaram. Main goya be niyaz ho jaunga, iske baad mujhe kisi cheez ki zarurat hi nahi hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stand in need of nothing anyway, but this is basically, this is enough for an Islam. Even if there's one mu'min person and one imam adil who is governing him, that's enough. Their ibadah is enough. وَلَقَامَتْ سَبْعُ أَرَضِينَ وَسَبْعُ سَمَوَاتِ بِهِمَا. And the seven heavens and seven earths and seven heavens will survive, will continue to stand through them or because of them. وَلَجَعَلْتُ لَهُمَا مِنْ إِيمَانِهِمَا أُنْسًا. And I will provide them from their iman and faith, uns, that means they would feel familiar and acquaintance, لا يحتاجان إلى أنس سواهما.
They won't stand in need of the uns of anybody else. You know, there is no wahshat and no scare.
Nobody will feel any scare and wahshat. They will be ma'noos and familiar from their the iman, the uns and familiarity they will get through their iman will be enough for them to basically replace or suffice for any kind of scare. So this is what we learned in the light of this narration, and I won't repeat that hadith which I think I have mentioned once earlier to you, where Imam Hassan alayhi salam was quit his i'tikaf. I think I mentioned that earlier. And when Abdullah ibn Abbas objected on him, he said that I heard my father saying that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saying that whosoever fulfills the hajat of his hajat of his mu'min brother is just like the person who worshipped God for 9,000 years. Sa'iman naharuhu wa qa'iman layluhu. That means those 9,000 years he is fasting all throughout the day and he is awake throughout the night. Awake means doing worships throughout the night. Ihya'ul layl, making the night alive. Ihya'ul layl is another value of Islam, that we spend part of the night of awake doing worships and ibadat and prayers and recitation and munajat and dua and istighfar and all that. So not just part of the night, the whole night. The guy is awake throughout the night and fasting throughout the daytime, all the way for 9,000 years. Fulfilling one hajat of a mu'min, and you get the reward of 9,000 years of worship. So again, I think this is enough for us to realize. And helping is a concept, does not include any help that somebody can provide with the haram money. Haram money, there is no concept of Islam in providing help. Haram money doesn't belong to you. If you got the money from someone else, that money is not yours. You got to give it back to the owner, if you can find. Otherwise, we, in different scenarios, we have different rulings that would apply how we would deal with the haram money. There is no concept of infaq and sadaqah in Islam from the haram money. There is no concept of infaq with haram. Quran has said, anfiqu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Do infaq from the tayyibat of what we gave you. Haram is not part of the tayyibat. Haram money is not part of tayyibat. If somebody has haram income, no matter what you give is not counted to be your infaq and sadaqah. So it has to be from the halal sources only. And not just that, but this kind of, of course, our prayers and fasting and hajj and umrah and silat rahim, everything is jeopardized with the haram money. In rajulan idha asaba malan min haramin lam yuqbal minhu hajjun wala umratun wala silat rahim. If a person gets the money from haram, neither his hajj is accepted, nor his umrah is accepted, nor his silat rahim. That means he keeping intact and in touch with his relatives is also not accepted by Allah, as long as he is earning the haram money. And also we have another hadith which says, that's mazmunul hadith actually, which I'm narrating, the gist of the hadith, that inna man istanna bi sunnatin jahiliyya aw talawwasa bi qadaratil mal al haram thumma labba. Somebody who follows the sunnat of jahiliyyat in his life. Somebody is following a sunnat of jahiliyyat.
In my country, it's like this. In my culture, it's like this. In my customs, it's like this. You know, taqaleed, rusum, customs, traditions of one country, one nation, one area. This is nothing in Islam. Anybody who follows any sunnat of jahiliyyah, inna man istanna bi sunnatin jahiliyyah aw talawwatha bi qadaratil mal al haram, or he is tainted with the uncleanliness of the haram money. That means his soul is already tainted with the uncleanliness of the haram money. He himself is tainted with the uncleanliness of the najasat of the haram money. Summa labba, and this type of person, then he went there for Hajj, Umrah, whatever. He went there and he did his talbiyah. You know, he says labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. You know, all that talbiyah, nudiya in the talbiyah. He is addressed at the time of talbiyah, la labbaik wa la sa'daik. That means, in other words, Allah is not accepting your talbiyah. You're not welcome in the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got to go by the rules. If you have the sunnat of jahiliyyah in your personality, or if you have a haram money, it makes you, you know, ineligible to do the talbiyah towards Allah. And you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, labbaik, oh my Lord, here I am at your service. What kind of service are you trying to provide when you don't follow the basics? So, وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ